Today is the 27th day of July. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It is great to be here with you today as we greet a brand new, shiny, sparkly week, like we always do. And we imagine, as it resets, the week out in front of us like a vista. Like we're standing here looking out over the rolling hills of the new week. And we have to walk into it. And we're going to tell a story as we walk into it. And that will be done with our thoughts first. And then our words. And then our choices. And our actions. And that will write the story of this week. And we'll do healing or we'll do damage. And in front of it all, I mean, we can humble ourselves and posture our hearts correctly so that we're in a place to see what's going on before we just react to everything. And so that's what we try to do. That's what I'm trying to do every week as well. It's out in front of us. Before this week is over, we'll be in a brand new month. And time continues to tick away, does it not? So it is great to be here with you today to take the next step forward. This week we'll read from the New International Version. And continuing our journey through 2 Chronicles today, chapters 19 and 20. When Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, returned safely to his palace in Jerusalem, Jehu the seer, the son of Hanani, went out to meet him and said to the king, "Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Because of this, the wrath of the Lord is on you. There is, however, some good in you. For you have rid the land of the Asherah poles and have set your heart on seeking God." Jehoshaphat lived in Jerusalem, and he went out again among the people from Beersheba to the hill country of Ephraim and turned them back to the Lord, the God of their ancestors. He appointed judges in the land, in each of the fortified cities of Judah. He told them, "Consider carefully what you do, because you are not judging for mere mortals, but for the Lord, who is with you whenever you give a verdict. Now let the fear of the Lord be on you. Judge carefully, for with the Lord our God there is no injustice or partiality or bribery." In Jerusalem also Jehoshaphat appointed some of the Levites, priests and heads of Israelite families to administer the law of the Lord and to settle disputes, and they lived in Jerusalem. He gave them these orders: "You must serve faithfully and wholeheartedly in the fear of the Lord. In every case that comes before you from your people who live in the cities, whether bloodshed or other concerns of the law, commands, decrees, or regulations, you are to warn them not to sin against the Lord. Otherwise, his wrath will come on you and your people. Do this, and you will not sin. Amariah, the chief priest, will be over you in any matter concerning the Lord, and Zebediah, son of Ishmael, the leader of the tribe of Judah, will be over you in any matter concerning the king. And the Levites will serve as officials before you. Act with courage, and may the Lord be with those who do well." After this, the Moabites and Ammonites with some of the Munites came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It is already in Hazazon Tamar, that is En-Gedi." Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard and said, Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, If calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name, and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. But now, here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. All the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jahaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. He said, Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. And some Levites from the Kohathites and Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Early in the morning they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Listen to me, Judah, and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. As they began to sing in praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing, and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Baraka, where they praised the Lord. This is why it is called the Valley of Baraka to this day. Then, led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lyres and trumpets. The fear of God came on all the surrounding kingdoms when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. So Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah. He was 35 years old when he became king of Judah, and he reigned in Jerusalem 25 years. His mother's name was Azubah, daughter of Shili. He followed the ways of his father Asa and did not stray from them. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. The high places, however, were not removed, and the people still had not set their hearts on the God of their ancestors. The other events of Jehoshaphat's reign, from beginning to end, are written in the annals of Jehu, son of Hanani, which are recorded in the book of the kings of Israel. Later, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, made an alliance with Ahaziah, king of Israel, whose ways were wicked. He agreed with him to construct a fleet of trading ships. After these were built at Ezion-Geber, Eleazar, son of Dodavahu of Mereshah, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, "Because you have made an alliance with Ahaziah, the Lord will destroy what you have made." The ships were wrecked and were not able to set sail to trade. Romans 10, 14 through 11, 12. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, "Lord, who has believed our message?" Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Again, I ask, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, "I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding." And Isaiah boldly says, "I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me." But concerning Israel, he says, "All day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people." I ask then, did God reject his people? By no means. I am an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Benjamin. God did not reject his people whom he foreknew. Don't you know what Scripture says in the passage about Elijah, how he appealed to God against Israel? "Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars. I am the only one left, and they are trying to kill me." And what was God's answer to him? "I have reserved for myself 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So too, At the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. And if by grace, then it cannot be based on works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace. What then? What the people of Israel sought so earnestly they did not obtain. The elect among them did, but the others were hardened. As it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that could not see and ears that could not hear, to this very day. And David says, may their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a retribution for them. May their eyes be darkened so they cannot see, and their backs be bent forever. Again I ask, did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? Not at all. Rather, because of their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious. But if their transgression means riches for the world, and their loss means riches for the Gentiles, how much greater riches will their full inclusion bring? Psalm 21. For the director of music, the Psalm of David. The king rejoices in your strength, Lord. How great is his joy in the victories you give. You have granted him his heart's desire and have not withheld the request of his lips. You came to greet him with rich blessings and placed a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked you for life and you gave it to him. Length of days forever and ever. Through the victories you gave, his glory is great. You have bestowed on him splendor and majesty. Surely you have granted him unending blessings and made him glad with the joy of your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord. Through the unfailing love of the Most High, he will not be shaken. Your hand will lay hold on all your enemies. Your right hand will seize your foes. When you appear for battle, you will burn them up as in a blazing furnace. The Lord will swallow them up in his wrath, and his fire will consume them. You will destroy their descendants from the earth, their posterity from mankind. Though they plot evil against you and devise wicked schemes, they cannot succeed. You will make them turn their backs when you aim at them with a drawn bow. Be exalted in your strength, Lord. We will sing and praise your might. Proverbs 20:4-6. Sluggards do not plow in season. So at harvest time they look but find nothing. The purposes of a person's heart are deep waters, but one who has insight draws them out. Many claim to have unfailing love, but a faithful person, who can find? Father, we thank you for your word. And as we enter into this new week, we invite you. It's not as if you're not here. In some ways, we invite ourselves to pay attention to your presence and be aware of where you are leading. And we take to heart what the proverb says, many claim to have unfailing love. Many claim that their love is true and unfailing, but a faithful person, who can find that? And as that relates to you, how true that can be when we look at our own lives. May this week be a week of faithfulness, because your love is unfailing. May our love for you be unfailing. Come, Holy Spirit, lead us into all truth, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Shalom, shalom, Daily Audio Bible. This is Dwayne from Wisconsin. Oh, praise and glory to our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today is July 20th. Let's continue to pray for our children. Kyle called in and would like us to continue to pray for his daughter, Riley. Down syndrome and has a heart condition, and they're going to, if they have not already, put in a heart catheter, and she is going to have an MRI again if that is not done already. But we pray our Lord and Savior will be with Riley, Lord, through this transitioning and procedures that she has. Lord, we ask that you would graciously lay your hand upon her, heal her, and guide her through this, and be with her parents as well and family. Rita called in, would like us to pray for her nephew Christian, who is a newborn and is in the NIC unit. We pray, Lord, that, again, you have your hand on this young one. Lord, we ask that you would guide Christian through the condition and the procedures that he's going to have, and we pray that you will strengthen him and he will grow up to be a light for you. Chris called in, would like us to pray for his son, Tristan, who had a stroke and is having some open heart surgery. Lord, we ask that you also would be in this situation. Again, guide the surgeons and the healing for Tristan, and pray that everything will go well. Mother called in, would like us to pray for son Joshua. She believes is having a homosexual relationship. There's transgendering going on there. Lord, we ask that you would be in this. Have them open their eyes, turn to you for guidance, and be with the parents of Joshua, so that they have the words to speak and can bestow love upon him, but that he will have his eyes open to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, and God bless.
Hey, Dab fam. Hey, Spark. I'm just going to say this, and I don't want to rehearse it. It came to me, and God comes in certain spots of our lives, and rather than rehearse it, I just picked my phone up, and I had a realization. God told me that the miracle of healing isn't what you do. The miracle of healing is not reaching out and touch somebody and saying you're healed. The miracle of healing is touching their soul and how you act with them and upon them as they're struggling. The miracle of love is absolutely carrying and picking up a phone or going and visiting. The miracle of care is caressing a soul. Is caressing a soul. You can't physically reach out and do what God did, but you can mentally reach out. And how you act, how you show your face to people, you can reach out. And the healing is in their soul, not their body. God told us to move forward. Move forward every day. You want blessings, bless people. Pray for people. Care for people, talk to people, love people, and you're healing. I love you. Thank you.
Good morning, DAB family. This is Saved by Grace in California, requesting prayers for my daughter, Candace, who has moved to Washington, D.C. She's been there for a couple of years. She's very private, and our relationship is very, very... I guess you could say we're not on the best communication. And I had not heard from her. I got a text on Mother's Day only. So I just pray, Father God, that you would protect and keep my daughter Candace, Lord, and camp your guardian angels round about her and keep her safe. I ask that no hurt, harm, or danger will come upon her. I pray, Father God, that you would speak to her heart, her mind, Father God, of the things of you, Father God, that you would help her see her need for Jesus Christ and that she would totally surrender to your will and your way over her life. I pray for a heart of forgiveness towards me and any situation or thing that the enemy is using to put a barrier between her and myself. Father, I thank you for always keeping her safe. I thank you for what you're doing in her life. I thank you, Father God, for your mercy and your grace over her. And Father God, I thank you that all her needs are being met. I thank you, Father, for the restoration of relationships. I thank you, Father God, that it is that for what you're doing, God, for what you're about to do. And I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and the privilege to come before your throne of grace with this prayer and intercession for my daughter. I thank you. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen.
Good day, my fellow Dabbers. This is Angus from Canada. It's my first prayer on the Dab. But I'm calling to pray for B-Wise in Arizona, who recently was incarcerated but recently got his freedom. We thank you, Father, for our brother's freedom and the new beginnings you've given him. We believe and know that you're a God of restoration, and we lift him up to you. We pray that you'll open doors that no one can shut for housing, employment, and supportive relationships. We pray that you'll lead him to the right people and places that will speak life, dignity, and opportunity toward him. We pray you give him the strength to walk each day in hope and not shame. And remind him that his past does not define him, only you do. And you will and you will redeem him, and remind him that he's loved and chosen. So my brother loved in B-Wise in Arizona. We're praying for you, thinking about you, cheerleading for you. Stay positive, stay in prayer, and let us know how you're doing. Thank you.